is not here. Okay, Russell, I want you to go and keep watch.
Got it, Dritzek.
Oh, I left his computer on, too. Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Put on the headphone.
Whoa.
And possibly, knock the microphone around. Okay. There we go.
So, you guys, today is the Canadian Viking 88's birthday. And, we kind of want to throw a party for him. So, he's supposed to be recording, the first chapter of the Michael Moorcock novel Elric of Melniboné. But, let's see here. Oh, good, good. So, Russell and I, managed to talk to someone who is computer savvy, and we've got we managed to program a little surprise for the Viking. So,
Dritzek, he's coming!
Oh, excellent, excellent. Okay, in the threads, be sure to wish Viking a happy birthday, regardless of what happens in this audio, okay?
Found it! Oh, that's good. Excuse me, I'll get out of your way here.
Left my audio editing program running. Oh, that is good. That is thoughtful of him. Looks like it's been going for a while, but I can easily trim that down. Okay. Hello, GWA Backstage. This is the Canadian Viking 88, and today I am going to read to you the first chapter of one of my favorite novels, Michael Moorcock's Elric of Melniboné. So, without further ado, let's get started. Elric of Melniboné by Michael Moorcock. Book 1 of the Elric Saga. Book 1. On the island kingdom of Melniboné, all of the old rituals are still observed, though the nation's power has waned for 500 years, and now her way of life is maintained only by her trade with the young kingdoms and the fact that the city of Imrir has become the meeting place of merchants. Are those rituals no longer useful? Can the rituals be denied and doom avoided? One who would rule in Emperor Elric's stead prefers to think not. He says that Elric will bring destruction to Melniboné by his refusal to honor all of the rituals. Elric honors many. And now opens the tragedy which will come many years from now and precipitate the destruction of this world. Chapter 1. A Melancholy King. A court strives to honor him. It is the color of a bleached skull, his flesh, and the long hair which flows below his shoulders is milk white. From the tapering, beautiful head stare two slanting eyes, crimson and moody, and from the loose sleeves of his yellow gown emerge two slender hands, also the color of bone, resting on each arm of a seat which has been carved from a single, massive ruby. The crimson eyes are troubled, and sometimes one hand will rise to finger the light helm which sits upon his white locks, a helm made from some dark greenish alloy and exquisitely molded into the likeness of a dragon about to take wing. And on the hand which absently caresses the crown, there is a ring in which is set a single rare Actorio stone, whose core sometimes shifts sluggishly and reshapes itself, as if it were a sentient smoke and as restless in its jeweled prison as the young albino on his ruby throne. He looks down the long flight of quartz steps to where his court disports itself, dancing with such delicacy and whispering grace that it might be a court of ghosts. Mentally, he debates moral issues, and in itself this activity divides him from the great majority of his subjects, for these people are not human. These are the people of Melnibone, the Dragon Isle, which ruled the world for 10,000 years and has ceased to rule it for less than 500 years. And they are cruel and clever, and to them, morality means little more than proper respect for the tradition of 100 centuries. To the young man, 428 in direct line of descent from the first sorcerer emperor of Melnibone, their assumptions seem not only arrogant, but foolish. It is plain that the Dragon Isle has lost much of her power and will soon be threatened in another century or two by a direct conflict with the emerging human nations whom they call, somewhat patronizingly, the Young Kingdoms. Already pirate fleets have made unsuccessful attacks on Imrir the Beautiful, the dreaming city, the capital of the Dragon Island of Melnibone. Yet even the Emperor... Audacity stopped working. The hell? Hello? Hello? Ah, fuck. I have to do that all over again. Ah!
Jesus, that's loud. Ah, how do I turn this off? There we go.
Happy birthday, Viking! So, we know you didn't want much of a birthday party this year, but
yeah.
Russell and I, we couldn't resist ourselves. We had to throw a little thing for you, so... Hey, you only turned 32 once, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, come on.
You guys, you didn't have to do that, you know?
I disagree.
Especially not, you know, deafening me with loud music through
Wait,
my headphones.
Was it that loud?
In fact, I think I have tinnitus right now. I've got this loud ringing in my ears, so you're probably going to have to speak up for a little bit.
Well, we just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Besides, GWA backstage got a bit of a dramatic greeting from you. I mean, you haven't done one of those in a while.
I've been meaning to do more of those. Life just keeps getting in the way, you know? But, Gritsek, Rasol, I know I give you guys a hard time, but it's just my way of showing my appreciation. You guys are the best.